Zion Kislev, Tuesday the 9th of December, Rabbi Akiva Teichtel, The Secret Seven.
Shalom Aleichem. Nice to be here again. It's almost a ritual. Every year I come to London, and every year I'm zeichet to speak in Torahway. So return. We will speak about return. That will actually be the theme. Nothing to do with any children's books or anything. Just to talk about the number seven and the issue of returning to places. I will do something different. Usually I speak about more in Lomdes. This time will be more machshava, a bit more philosophical. I hope you enjoy it. Merci Hashem. So, I have a few questions regarding the number 7. We know the number 7 is the most important typological number in Yiddishkeit. And, first of all, the question is why? Why is number 7 so central, more than most other numbers? There are other important numbers, 3, 10, but 7 is very important, and why is that so? My other question is regarding Shabbos. We say that the Gemara Shabbos says, and it's mentioned in other places, that Shabbos has to do with Emunah in Bria Soilam. The person who keeps Shabbos basically declares that the world was not just created by itself or anything. The world was created by Hashem, and we acknowledge that by keeping Shabbos. Because Hashem created the world in 7 days, and so too, when we sort of celebrate, we give importance to the seventh day, we recognize that. It says it in Morin Shabbos, Kol Eved Avodah Zarah Kedar Shel Enosh, Moichlin Loi. If you keep Shabbos, Hashem even forgives the one who's Eved Avodah Zarah. The Stipler, it's known that the Stipler advised people who had problems in their Emunah, that they felt that their Emunah was shaky. He said that what they have to do practically, on a practical level, is to keep Shabbos very, very well, with all the Chumras and all the Hidurim, because keeping Shabbos is, besides just keeping Shabbos, it's important for one's internal Emunah. So the question is again, why? What does Shabbos have to do with Emunah and creation of the world? And the question is a bit stronger even, because if anything, the moment, I think the day in which we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, ex nihilo, from nothing into something, was the first day. Yeah, Hashem created something every day of the week. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, etc. If anything, Shabbos is the least active day. Okay, you can philosophize and say that Menucha, rest, is also a kind of creation. It's true. But still, if you want to sort of recreate creation and believe in creation, then why don't we celebrate Sunday? And no, I don't belong to the wrong religion. Don't suspect me for that. No. But still, the question is why? Why is Shabbos? Why is the last and the most inactive day? Why was that day chosen to celebrate Shabbos? My other question has to do with Sukkot. I know Chanukah is coming up, but there's a lot of relationship between Chanukah and Sukkot. Shitas Beit Shammai, of Poiches Vaholech, is because of Pare Achad, of Sukkot. And why do we say on Sukkot, Basukkot Teishvu Shivas Yomim, the Torah says. The Brocha is Leishet Basukkah. It's very interesting. When you look in the Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch describes the mitzvah of sukkah, he doesn't say the word leishav. You don't have to sit in the sukkah. It's not described as the activity, as a sukkah activity. He says all kinds of other things, including metayel, for example, to spend time. So why is the brocha leishav? Because of the posuk, the sukkah teishvu shivas yomim. But why is that? Why did the Torah tell me to sit in the sukkah, teishvu as to sit? Why doesn't the Torah say, besukkah toguru shivas yomim or tichyu shivas yomim? Yeah? Why sitting? So, to answer the first question, number 7, we can look at it from many different aspects, many different perspectives. So number 7 has to do with the 7 spheres in Kabbalah. There are 7 spheres, the 7 lower spheres, Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. These are the things to do with Kabbalah, the 7 ways Hashem leads the world, relating to the Ushpizim as well, and to many other things, Shiva Saminim. There's also the geometrical shape of, there's dimensions. Yeah, there are seven dimensions to a cube, and it has to do with all different dimensions of the world. But I would actually like to take a different look at it from the grammatical. Yeah, there are seven dimensions. If you look at the inside as well, the depth. The depth is also all together, right? The totality is seven. In any event, that's not what I'm going to talk about. I'm not into numbers. I'm more into words and languages. That's what I my favorite subject. So looking at it linguistically, Rav Hirsch has some very beautiful pieces on the connection between different words, that different shiroshim. We know that in Hebrew, you know, every verb, yeah, all verbs come from different roots, from shiroshim, you know, usually roots of three letters. And all shiroshim that begin with the chair, I would say, that share the same two letters, the first two letters are connected. They're connected philosophically, intrinsically, they're connected. For example, everything to do, all shiroshim that start with, let's say, pei resh, yeah, the letters pei resh, they all have to do with things that, with one thing that becomes bigger or broken or on the outside. Parach is to flourish, something becomes out. Parat is to detail, or to parash is to go out, to depart. Paratz is to break. In other words, anything to do with one thing breaking into more, into something bigger, better, further, all these things start with pei resh. Para, like paravarava, you multiply, etc. And the same idea is mentioned by Rav Aaron Marcus, who I'm mechuyev v'chvoido, he was my great-great-grandfather, also from Germany, and he says the same idea. Same things go with Chetresh. All the Shiroshim are like that. So I'm not going to go now into Shin Beis, but apparently if the first two letters of Shin of Sheva are Shin Beis, it has to do with Shav. And Shav has to do with returning. So I believe the number 7, Lanius 90, has to do with returning to the original point, returning to the point of where we started from, to square one. So let's begin with, actually not with Shabbos, we're in the Shemitah year, yeah, what could be better, yeah, definitely has to do number 7, and Shemitah times Shemitah is Yovel, yeah, B'shnas Yovel Teshuvu Yishal HaChodosai, yeah, we return at the 50th year, yeah, after 7 Shemitahs, we come to this climax of sevens, yeah, Shev, 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 and then just like the land returns to Hashem every 7th year, so too in the Yovel, people, the Avodim, the slaves, they come back to the place of origin, Teshuvu Yishal HaChodosai, yeah, the lands return to their original owners, with many different halachas, yeah, Sdechuza, etc., etc., all these things, they return, Sheva, Shav, they come back to where they came from. Who comes back? The Avodim, the slaves. When do they come back? When do the Avodim actually return home? After 10 days of celebrating and sitting like kings with their crowns on their heads, having a feast, the Avodim, after 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur, they're finally released. Because Yom Kippur, again, is the day of Teshuvah, of returning. Teshuvah has to do with returning to original place. I once taught children that were not from a very Torah background, religious but not very religious, and not Hebrew-speaking either, and I told them, you know, Baal Teshuvah means the person who returned. And they said, why? The person never returned anywhere. Somebody who was brought up secular and not from, and he became from at the age of 40, so where is he returning to? Well, the answer is obvious, that every person has a neshama, has a Yiddish neshama, has a Yiddish pinto, and the question is, how far did he go, did he venture out of that point? But we're talking about returning to the same place. Rav Tatz says that when we hear an idea and it clicks very well with us, it's because we heard it once before. We all heard the idea already in our mother's womb. Yeah, when the Malach taught us. It's all about returning to the same place. But returning, when the Avodim, let's say, when the Avodim come back to their homes after such and such amount of years, each one whatever different, then hopefully they don't return to the same place, the same place the way they were before. Hopefully they return there as better people. Let's say an Eved who stole, yeah, and he was, you know, sold for those amount of years. So he comes back home a better person. So we're talking about returning, but not returning the same way as we were before. on Yom Kippur, when we return home, when we enter Kodesh HaKadoshim, so to speak, like the Kohen Gadol, we return to our hearts of hearts. Yeah, this is what they say, is returning your own Kodesh HaKadoshim. You return as a better person, of course. You're not just, you know, celebrating now the Yom Kippur. You are a better person. That leads us to another idea. The idea of the spiral. And then we'll talk about Shabbos. In the Western world, I would say that the Ashkofa, if we can call it that way, is, we tell, you know, in a good, let's say, a good Goyisha family in today's world, what do they tell their children? You have to be the best, you know, you have to be the best, you have to achieve, you have to aspire. If you're a good musician, then be the best musician you can, and if whatever, the system is not good enough for you, so you should change the system and make a revolution and whatever. You should aim to be the best lawyer in whatever, the top floor in the skyscraper in Manhattan. Don't settle for anything less than that. Sheifes, yeah? That is, the Western world is very much into that. And is it good or bad? Well, depends. Like everything, there's a good aspect and there's a bad aspect. Because, unfortunately, in the Western world, there are people who are admired for their great achievements, while they could be completely corrupted. They can be complete mushchosim, but they invented something amazing. They invented the latest high-tech thing, or that guy can really, really score amazing goals. He's a great football player, and whatever, but the guy can be, and everybody knows that that person can be the biggest mushchos, and people don't really care, because he's still making a lot of money, and he gets a lot of admirers. Because the Western world, this is an analogy made by Rav Sholem Sabernik. I read it on his Bishmoy, on his behalf. He's quoted in a Sefer saying that the Western world is like an arrow. An arrow shoots up and it doesn't care, you know, what happens on this side. You have to be the best, reach the furthest, and that's it. Parts of you can remain in the kindergarten, your middest, but who cares? And then we have, again, I've been reading Rav Tatz's book recently, about Yiddishkeit versus the Lahavdil Buddhism, and in Buddhism it's just the other way around. Buddhism is like a circle, or it's not the Eastern religion, the Far East mentality, the religious one, is about everything. You have to be complacent, you have to just accept everything, you don't have to change anything, you just have to be mekabel everything the way it is. You have to accept life the way it is, and that will make you very serene and very nice to everybody, and the biggest Russian, there isn't even such a thing as evil, everything is really, really good. So that's a bit of an exaggeration of Gamzul HaToivo. So this is like a circle. A circle is something very whole that just accepts everything, nothing changes, it just revolves around itself, around, around, around. And the downside is that there are no real changes. There are no real changes. Things remain as they are, and nothing really evolves. Because accepting everything the way it is also wrong. We do have to make changes. So what happens in Yiddishkeit? What is Yiddishkeit like? What's the Derech HaEmes? What's the golden path? What's real? Well, obviously somewhere, as usual, the truth lies somewhere in the middle, and the truth, Baruch Hashem, we have the truth. It's true Eden. And the truth is that, of course, we have to have she'ifas, we have to aspire, we have to try to do the best we can, mainly in Ruchnias, also in Gashmias, as much as you can, knowing at the same time, knowing full well, that it's not up to us. We know that I'm not only talking about Gashmias, where everything should be bitalgah, but we have to know everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's very well known. But even in Ruchnias, we do our best, and yet we say that Yitzhak Shel Adam is Gabra Olav B'chol Yoim. Yeah, V'mol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Messiah Lo Yochol. Yeah, we cannot even beat our Yitzhak Hara without Hashem's help. We have to, our Meshgiach in Yeshiva, Rav Moshe Shimon Weintraub, used to tell us that the only way really to fight the Yetzer Hara, even with Torah learning and everything, the only way to break the kashus alev, the hardness of the heart, is by davening. Yeah? Without davening, you know, nothing goes. What does that have to do with returning? Now, I'd like to talk about Shabbos. Let's now re-explore our favorite day of the week. When Hashem Baruch Hu created the world on the first day, that first day, we're getting a little bit deeper here, was not really a day of creation. Yet, Bereishis Bara Elokim, from our point of view, well, something new started. There was no world, and boom, there's world, there's light, yeah, Yior, yeah, etc. And all of a sudden, things started happening. But the world, the word mentioned in that pasuk, as we know, Bereishis Bara Elokim. Elokim is Midas Adin. And Din has to do with tzimtzum, with constriction, with actually limiting things. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is completely infinite, Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinity, Kadosh Baruch Hu has no end, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is actually mitzamtzem something, Kadosh Baruch Hu is limiting something in order to create the world. The Kadosh Baruch Hu now, Bereshis, also Beis is the second world, not the first one. Aleph is the letter that relates to Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. Alufa shel Olam. Aleph is also Yud, Yud, and Vav. Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. And that creation, the Yetzira, was something that constricted the world, and that's why Ba'asor Ma'amoros Nivra Olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzem his presence in the world more and more. And that's why they explain in the Mishnah and Ovois, why did Hashem create the world in 10 different Ma'amoros and not in one Ma'amor? In order to give Bechira, yeah, to give more Schar to the Tzadikim and give more Einish to the Rishon. That means that we have more Bechira in the world because Kadosh Baruch Hu is concealed. He's hidden behind 10 Mechitzas, so to speak, and we have to break those 10 Mechitzas. So on the first day of creation, Kadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzem, and the tzimtzum became stronger and stronger, in fact. Until came Adam HaRishon, it was his job to discover Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then when Shabbos came, Shabbos is not the end of the week. Yeah, this is an idea mentioned by Rav Greenfeld in his sefer Belvava Mishkan Evneh, and I think the name is Greenfeld, if I'm not mistaken, in the sefer Belvava Mishkan Evneh, very popular Musa sefer. And he says that the world, quoting Kabbalah, he says that Shabbos is not really the end of the week. Again, Shabbos is like a circle. We're coming back to the first day, because after all those tzimtzumim, we are now, Shabbos is, we return to another point of creation, but this time, we take all the gashmis that we have, and we uplift it. We take all those tzimtzumim, all the gashmias that was created, and more gashmias always means less ruchnias, but we take that gashmias and we return. We are shav, Shabbos, we return to the point of beginning, but we are now, like a spiral, we are returning to a higher point. Just like the Eved comes home, is shav, but he comes home a better person. Just like an Yom Kippur, we come home, but we come as better people. So too on Shabbos, we come to the first point, but now all the gashmias that we have, we use it. If we want to go down to earth right now, halacha lemaisa, we all know that the main idea of Kovod Shabbos is not on Shabbos itself. Oinik Shabbos, we actually experience on Shabbos itself, but Kovod Shabbos, most of Kovod Shabbos, except for maybe dressing nicely, is done on Friday, or even before. We know the Shammah and Hillel thing, yeah? There are different ways of buying, acquiring all kinds of gashmias things in honor of Shabbos. Every day we say, Ayom Rishon B'Shabbos, Shein B'Shabbos. We remember Shabbos throughout the week because we're trying to elevate the entire week to a higher point. That's like that. We're coming back and again and again. Yeah, some things cannot be taped. Yeah, we need to video that. Yeah, we come another Shabbos and another Shabbos, and every Yom Tov is like that. We know that every Yom Tov we re-experience again anew on Pesach. We experience again the idea of being free. Yeah, and it's not like last year, hopefully. We celebrate it more, better, bigger, as adults, not as little children. Every time we return to the same point of freedom, but on a higher level. When it comes to Sukkot, now we can understand why Sukkot, the mitzvah is Sukkot Cheshivu Shivas Yomim. On Sukkot, we sit in the Sukkah because we are Shav, we have returned. After Yom Kippur, after we've cleansed ourselves, so now we can come to Hashem's home again. Sukkah is where Hashem, obviously that's Hashem's house, till the Mimnusa, and we come as better people, we are returning to where we've been before. We went out to all kinds of places, now we return, and that's where we can sit. When you say in English, I think you sit pretty, it means you sit well. When you sit somewhere, you feel very comfortable. When you stand, or when you run around, you're not so much at home. When you sit in the Sukkah, that shows that, you know, that's where you belong, and because you came back to the right place. So what about Hanukkah? Hanukkah is number 8. So in Hanukkah, possibly, we have an added dimension. When we talk about coming back to the point of creation, we're basically utilizing the whatever Hashem brought us. Yeah, we utilize the gashmias, and we say, okay, that's for Shabbos. On a very simple level, you have something very very tasty, very yummy, whatever, on Wednesday. You really feel like eating that, you know, food item, and you know it's not going to be in the market tomorrow in 2 days' time, whatever, so you keep it for Shabbos. You're Kovod Shabbos, you keep it for Shabbos, and you say, that's the Kovod Shabbos, and not for any other time. You tell the children, you know, those sweets, those goodies are for Shabbos, because we elevate the Gashmias, yeah, bringing it to a higher place. I was just thinking that the idea of Shabbos, by the way, also doesn't, I assume, shouldn't fit into any other religion either. because although Goyim celebrate, so to speak, their Sunday, but that's, for them it's only a way to work better later. Their idea of day of rest is completely distorted. Their idea is that, you know, I rest now, so I gain my koiches, I gain my energy to work better tomorrow. That's definitely not the idea of Shabbos. In Shabbos, hirurim are just about mutarim. To even think about your work is okay, but questionable. We definitely not rest on Shabbos in order to work. It's just the other way around. We work in order to rest and elevate ourselves spiritually. So in the Western world, you know, what's Shabbos? You know, I have to work harder, work better, and, you know, work more, because you have to make it up to that top floor over there in Manhattan. And in the Eastern religions, I assume that there is no need for Shabbos, because they have Shabbos every day. When you sit under a tree and you meditate and you don't really, you know, do anything, even spiritually, just working, just accepting and just, you know, staying in that sedate place. So why Shabbos? There's Shabbos all the time. But us, there's Shesh Yomim Tavod, yeah? And then in the Shvi, you rest. You do work for 6 days. We have the Gashmias, and then the seventh day is the spiritual climax. So, back to Chanukah. In Chanukah, we have the added dimension, the eighth dimension. Because in Chanukah, obviously we know that Chanukah has to do with Mesiras Nefesh. Chanukah has to do with Mesiras Nefesh, a tiny group of, you know, untrained soldiers fighting against how would I call it? Empire. Yeah, the Greeks then were fighting against the empire. Imagine yourself a bunch of, I don't know, Avrechim fighting against the American army. You can't even imagine such a thing. And that was Chanukah. Chanukah was an added dimension. Chanukah also halachically means a hidur. The word hidur, by the way, also has to do with hadar, returning. Mehadar is to return, because in hadar is mentioned in the Torah regarding the Dalet Minim. Yeah, Priyat Hadar also has to do with returning to the same place. On Chanukah, we're not just Mehadar, we are Mehadrin Mina Mehadrin. We have an added dimension of Mehadrin, meaning an added dimension of return. We return, but we have the added bonus. That added bonus is our own input. In other words, the seven dimensions, or the 7 days, or that circle that we return to, in a higher level, like a spiral, is we deal with what we have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me on Wednesday, I got a very nice cake, and on Thursday I got a bunch of I don't know, candies, whatever. So we take that and we bring it to Shabbos. When it comes to Chanukah, there was more like Hisarusa de la Tato. The Chashmonoi themselves, they came with something that they, I don't know if they were mechuyev even to fight against the Greek like that. They could have said, whatever, pikuach nefesh, what can we do about it? Halachically, they did not have to find the purest jug of oil, the Pach Shem HaTor, Tum Hutra B'Tzibur. They could have done with anything. But they wanted to do the extra. They wanted to come with their own initiative, with their own thing, something that kivyachol doesn't come from Hashem, something that they brought into the picture. And that's the eighth dimension. Something that we as human beings are coming with Allah Teva. The Teva is what Hashem brings upon you. That's a Teva. I'm born with my, you know, with my good things and my bad things, and I have my shortcomings and my limitations. So if I go within Teva, I say, that is who I am. This is who I am. What can I do? And, you know, that's who I was born. But if we go to the Malam in the Teva, we say, no, I want to achieve something higher, bringing my own aspect, my own thing, my own mysterious nefesh into the picture, and that's the eighth dimension. So I'm finishing a little bit early. Sorry. And I wish you all, I hope we had a good Sukkot, I hope we will have a good Chanukah. Thank you again for allowing me to return here. And Mitzvah Hashem, next year we'll return to Yerushalayim with Mashiach.